magazine of college recruiting. This is the show where you'll learn about the latest tips and tricks on how to maximize your scholarship opportunities tenfold. You'll learn the hows, whys, and whats of college recruitment and scholarships. Let's get into it.
Welcome to the NSR Podcast, the show where we give you the latest tips and tricks on how to maximize your collegiate opportunities, Matt. We are here live recording episode 47. Well, we're live. You're probably not watching it live. You may be a week late, but it's live for us, and we're hanging out in the beautiful state of Iowa, as you can see behind us, at Iowa Western Community College.
It is a community college.
I got confused then. I thought it was Iowa Western Junior College, but no. Iowa Western Community College.
Community College.
A magnificent two-year program in the state of Iowa. A few national championships in a few different sports over the past few years, yep. which is awesome. So if you're not on YouTube, jump on YouTube, have a look at the awesome facilities at a junior college in Iowa, Iowa Western.
That's it. People think junior college is not as good, or facilities aren't as good, but as you will see behind us,
certainly not the case.
Not the case.
Not the case. So while you're on YouTube as well, don't forget to hit the red subscribe button on our channel. Make sure you stay up to date with all the podcast episodes. We try to get them out once every week. Every now and then we may be a few days late on a few technical difficulties, we'll say, with the editing process. But make sure you subscribe, download any podcast app, and stay up to date with all the podcasts that we push out weekly. So, Matt, this week we're going to be speaking about your coach.
Your coach.
Or someone else's coach, or your PE teacher, sports teacher. Any kind of sports coach, basically, is what we'll be talking about.
Yep.
We'll be speaking about the advice they tend to give to, and look, I guess it's not every sports coach, obviously, but yep. The advice that we hear in the office that athletes are receiving from their coaches in relation to the college recruitment process. So, sometimes it's the advice that we hear that coaches are giving kids is just straight up incorrect. So
that is. A lot of times the advice that you receive has, you know, the personal motives of the coach in mind, in addition to the advice that they're trying to give to you. So I think it's just about being careful.
Exactly.
A lot like the career advisor episode that we did.
Exactly. I can't remember what number that was. I think it was the early 40s.
Possibly.
Maybe late 30s. Why you should never take advice from your careers advisor. Rewind back and have a listen to that one as well, because it's similar to this one, but
also different. This pertains to your coach.
Exactly. So to avoid any confusion in the future, we're going to talk about the advice that that coaches are giving athletes here in Australia and New Zealand about the college recruitment process. So stay tuned. We're under strict rules to keep it under or around 30 minutes today. So we're going to be breezing through it. So really enjoyable episode.
We'll do our best.
We'll do our best. Right, so we're going to break this episode up into a few different sections. First off, we're going to be talking about the different, I guess, categories
of coaches.
If you're listening, we did the old finger
symbols,
quotation thing.
Quote unquote.
Yeah, exactly. Different categories of coaches, if you will, and where they get their information from. Now, first off, don't get me wrong, a little disclaimer, don't get me wrong, there are plenty of coaches out there here in Australia and New Zealand that are giving quality information when it comes to this pathway. And I guess if you listen to the Careers Advisor episode, Careers Advisors are also giving great information to students. It just may not be all of the information.
Right.
And in some cases, it may not be correct, which is similar to this episode where coaches are giving athletes correct information. It just may not be
complete
and all of the information.
Complete or specific to that individual athlete. That's,
exactly.
That's sort of what we're getting at.
Exactly. So as we said, Matt, take it away.
Okay, so
let's talk about the different categories of coaches.
All right, there are four categories, I guess, that we'll touch on. Firstly, you've got coaches here in Australia that have taken the U.S. pathway themselves, and they have experience in the U.S. So typically, a lot of the time, the information that they're giving you relates to their own experience.
Exactly. So if they went to a particular division or conference or area of the country, it's sort of the information that they're giving is completely related to
them and their experience and not necessarily you and where your experience could take you.
Exactly.
Secondly, there are coaches that are coaching here in Australia that are American, that have, experience with the college pathway, but also, they're giving information based on their experience as an American
going through the process.
Going through that process.
A little bit different as an international.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously, going through the process. And the third one is there are coaches that know athletes that have gone through the process.
That's right.
Whether it be a family friend or an athlete they've coached. And again, the information that they're giving students is based on what they've heard about that particular athlete that they
right.
know
so
going through the
this is
the
what
process.
John did. So, look, this is probably what,
this
you,
is what
you should do too.
Yeah.
Which again, you know, can have some good information in it,
yeah.
but may not be...
Well, it's certainly not going to be...
entirely accurate
exactly.
to you because everybody's different. So,
yeah.
The last one, that there are coaches that don't really have any idea
yeah.
About the U.S. collegiate system, but will still... put their opinions in place and share information with you about, you know, what you should do.
What they think. And I feel like
yeah.
that could be a little bit of an ego thing as well. Like if a kid
yeah.
comes up and asks you something about your sport, like you're going to end like, you know, a lot
oh,
of the
yeah.
time they'll say, yeah, I know about that. Like here's some information or you need to do this or that. Again, based on maybe what they've heard elsewhere.
Yeah.
If they have no idea about
it. Or if they don't know anything about it, like they'll denounce it. And say, oh, no, you should go and do something like this
yeah.
instead
yeah.
because that won't be a, you know, that's probably not the best route that you should take.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, again, four different categories. And there's going to be other coaches out there as well that you know, will give different opinions.
They'll have different backgrounds.
Yeah, they'll have different backgrounds. They'll have different views. They'll have different experiences in the sport.
Yeah.
And again, I guess... getting information from anyone, just like a career advisor or anybody like that, it's, you know, take that information on board, but, you know, take it with a grain of salt and you know, try and then do additional research or put additional time into, you know, to figuring out how that information could pertain specifically to you.
Exactly.
Right? So,
the information, yeah, that coaches are passing on, as we said, is really all based on their own sort of personal experience or someone close to them
yeah.
and their experience. It's not based on 12 years of actually working in the business and placing athletes and research and understanding the ins and outs of college recruitment.
Yeah, so like not in the sense where, okay, looking at you specifically with your academics,
yeah.
with your ability, with your position, with what you want to study, with your overall budget, with all these underlying factors, this is how you should go about finding a U.S. collegiate opportunity. Like,
yeah.
I'm hard-pressed to say that you will not find that in your coach.
Exactly.
Like, your coach, you know, probably doesn't have that knowledge, that experience to be able to break things down, consider all variables, and then give you specific advice
mm-hmm.
About where you should take your sport. Because if that was the case, we wouldn't exist.
Exactly.
Right? Like if so many people had that knowledge or that expertise, like we as an organization at NSR, like we there would be no reason for us to exist. So
exactly.
So yeah.
Look, and we'll break it down a little bit more further, like as we get deeper into the episode. Hopefully that gives you a bit of an overview of sort of I guess coaches here in Australia and the type of information that they're giving to athletes. We'll talk about some potential red flags, specific sort of, I guess, things that are brought up to athletes and then what they're sort of bringing to us. And we'll basically let you know what you need to do. And it's really important to get a second opinion a lot of the time with the, you know, even if the coach is 100% certain that the information is correct, I guess it's important to still maybe get a second opinion.
You still always, yeah.
yeah.
You continue to do your own research. Like, again, ask more than just that one person, right?
Exactly.
So yeah,
stay awesome. Tuned. We'll break it down a little bit further in this next segment. All right, so we'll talk about some of the things that we hear in the office on a weekly basis.
And we hear some things in this office.
We hear a lot of things in this office. But I guess some concerns or questions that are raised from parents and athletes, I guess, they do get in contact with us, all about information that coaches have given them, their coaches have given them about the U.S. collegiate system. How often do you say, like, we would get a call in the office where that sort of stuff is brought up?
Probably 5, 6, 7 times a week on average.
And it may not even be the main sort of point on, you know, it may not be the reason that they're actually calling. It may just come up in conversation like,
yeah,
oh,
they'll ask
coach
us,
also said this. Or,
yeah, they ask us a question about something and then, oh, by the way, like, my coach told me this.
And how many times is that information incorrect or not complete?
I would say 98% of the time.
Okay.
Like, so there is that, you know, 1 or 2% of information that kids are getting is spot on.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, like, that information that coaches are passing on is pretty general.
Yeah.
In nature. And to be fair, like, I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, coaches don't know anything.
No, exactly.
And I want everybody to understand that. That's not what we're saying at all. I think it's just being able to make things as specific as they need to be for you is a difficult task.
Yeah.
And if any information that you're giving, again, you seek second opinions and things like that. But
and even if you are a coach watching this and you want a second opinion or you're not sure about the information that you're giving an athlete, like, call us as well. We have plenty of coaches that contact us.
Yeah, definitely. Like I've had coaches contact us and say, you know, hey, a couple of my athletes are looking at going to the U.S. system, you know, just looking for some certain information on this. Yeah. And I'm happy to chat with anybody.
And it's much better to do that and have correct information
that's right.
to pass on to an athlete than potentially giving an athlete incorrect or not, you know, incomplete information that can potentially harm their, opportunities in, you know, to go over to the U.S. So,
yep.
That's super important. But look, we'll get into some things, that we've heard that coaches have said to athletes.
Yep.
That you may need to be wary of.
So, look, first of all, you know, understand where coaches are getting their information from.
Yeah.
Because as we said before, some coaches, you know, are super qualified.
Yeah.
You know, and do have some great information to give.
Yeah.
You know, if they've been through this process themselves or they've had some of their athletes go through this process, then again, a lot of times, like,
they'll have a decent understanding.
They'll have a decent understanding of the U.S. system. And that's, it's not hard to get a decent understanding
of the
U.S. system.
It's probably a very sort of basic sort of understanding of the system.
Well, compare that to, like, you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like myself, spent 4 years in the States, obviously, and after completing my time over there, yeah, of course, I had a good understanding or a decent knowledge of divisions and areas of the country and conferences and I guess the levels of play throughout the country, but like I wouldn't have had a clue about eligibility for particular divisions or the classes that I had to take in order to be eligible for this division, or, you know, that different bits and pieces that you would never think of. Like, yes, I had a very basic understanding, but that's about it.
Well, and that's typically, you know, what a, you know, a coach that has any experience from themselves or players, again, like they're gonna have that sort of probably basic knowledge and know that, you know, competition levels at Division I are higher than Division II or whatever. But but again, that's not specific.
Yeah,
like it's
to
just
you.
It's not specific to you. Yeah, exactly. like it's very easy for a coach to sit there and say, oh yeah, you know, go Division I because that's the best. Well, yeah, at the highest level in Division I, it is the best.
Yeah.
It's the biggest and it's the best. But like, does that mean anything to you?
Yeah.
Like, are you that type of player? And if you don't go to that sort of level, is it not worth your time? Well, no, not at all. Like, there's a level for everybody. And again, when you get that information from a coach and they impose their own opinions on what you should do and where you should go, then, you know, again, listen to it, but continue to seek additional information to sort of narrow that. Especially if you're going through this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Like the NSR athletes, you guys have the liberty of calling us, literally picking up the phone anytime, shooting us an email anytime, asking questions.
Any question, yeah.
And I will be 100% honest, transparent, and provide a realistic evaluation of where we see you at as an athlete, where the types of schools that you're going to fit into based on your grades and all those things. But because there's so many different variables that need to be taken into account. Mm-hmm. So again, if you're doing this by yourself, you know, don't take the information that you get directly from your coach as like, oh, that's the law.
You can't take
it.
You can't just take that.
You can't
just
rely
on that. It's like, it's probably not going to happen.
That's it. You're going to find yourself disappointed probably at the end of the day because you haven't sought additional opinions or you haven't dug deep enough into how the whole system works to figure out, you know, is that advice correct for you?
Yeah.
And look, if it is, great, but more often than not, it's pretty general and basic in nature and needs additional research.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Americans and American coaches, you know, here in Australia may seem more qualified. And look, they probably are. But again, Are they as reliable as other sources as well? Are they reliable as a company that's been doing this for 12 years? Probably not. So again, even with information that they may have provided you, it's still important to get a second opinion. We've had American coaches call us as well that are here in Australia.
Seriously, like
seeking further information on sort of specific things, you know, different processes within the US college recruitment sort of pathways.
Well, those American coaches that are here are guys that, you know, Americans that went through the system there that are now here in coaching. Yep. Again, a lot of the information that they're providing is specific to their own experience, like their experience through college. Like, and again, you know, every single athlete's experience is going to be different, and it's going to be, you know, individual, right?
So no two athletes are the same.
No, there's athletes that are similar, but no two athletes are identical in terms of every single variable that comes into play.
Academics. Every student's going to be different. Then you have their athletic sort of ability and eligibility is different. And then the finances are going to be different as well.
Yeah, so financial capability does a lot, you know, like, and what a kid can qualify for academically is going to be different from another kid. Yeah. So there's so many different things.
Yeah.
But typically what you'll hear from those American coaches or coaches that have gone through the American system is, oh, well, I played in Division I, or I played in Division II, or I played in the NAIA or junior college, or what.
That's where you want to go.
Yeah, I played in Division I, so if you don't go to Division I, then don't even bother. It's not worth your time.
Or if you're not ready for Division I yet, or they say, you know, look, I don't think you're ready for Division I yet, then maybe take a year off and work on that. And then go over the year later.
Take a year off, get ready for Division I, and then go.
Which we'll touch on a little bit in the next segment, because that's a really important part of this podcast, like, and probably the most important part. So stay tuned. But
again, like this might not come from just an American coach. Like this could come from any coach.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's just one of those things where, you know, what was right for that coach or a coach putting an opinion saying, oh, you know, I've coached a lot of kids. You're a Division II level athlete, or you're a Division I level athlete. Like, yeah, that's where you should set your sights. Well, okay, that could be true.
Yeah,
and then what you also have to remember is that, like, I've heard that from coaches before. Oh, you're a Division II athlete. So then that athlete comes to us and says, I want to go Division II because my coach said that I'm a good Division II athlete. I don't necessarily disagree with that, but are you going to start out in a Division II program, and is a Division II program going to be scholarshiping you enough to make it affordable? Is it going to be a place where you can participate, play, like enjoy your experience, or, you know, is Division II the goal?
Yeah.
And you use another pathway to get to that ultimate goal. So, like,
exactly.
You know, again,
it's not like sport here in Australia where, okay, I'm good enough for this particular club at this level, I'm going to go play there in that division.
Yeah, I'll just pay my registration fees. I'll try out, make the team. Yep, I'm playing.
In the States, you may be good enough for a particular division or school, but are you academically eligible and can you afford it at the end of the day?
Well, is that coach recruiting somebody
exactly
with your characteristics? Does that coach feel that you're a Division II athlete, and not just any Division II athlete, but, you know, or any division, but are you an athlete that's going to fit their program?
Exactly. In team sports, it's obviously very subjective. A coach here may think you're a Division II athlete or an unbelievable athlete. Pushing your information to coaches in the States, they
may have, like I said,
they're using a different opinion of
they're using their own eyes, they're making their own decisions, and they're sitting there saying, well, no, I'm sorry, but I don't feel that you're a good fit here. Or they may say, I think you'd be a great fit here.
Yeah.
So again, it's just about taking, you know, any opinions or taking information and doing, you know, not taking that as gospel, but like going out and doing additional research and figuring out, like, okay, well, am I there right now? Is it going to be, you know, is it something that can happen straight away? Yeah. Or, you know, is that where I could end up and I work my way into an opportunity like that? So again, we'll touch more specifically on that in the next section. But
this next one is probably the main one that we hear. You know, a coach knows an athlete or has a family friend, son or daughter that went over to the US. Basically, they know an athlete that's gone over. The information that they give you is not even related to their own experience. It's based on someone else's experience.
Completely somebody else's experience.
So the chances of that information being sort of distorted and incorrect is... it sort of increases. So You need to be very wary of any information that's passed on from coaches that know of an athlete that went over to the US.
Like, well, little Johnny, you know, he went over and he did this, and you know, you're better than him.
Yeah.
You know, so look, you could probably do better.
Yeah.
Probably.
And that's one we hear
constantly.
We hear that in the office all the time. So, and again, there's no single sort of solution for every student athlete. Everyone is different, as we said.
Exactly.
Now, I guess the main point that we're trying to get across is to really anything that your coach tells you, again, maybe incorrect, but you need to be a little bit skeptical and always get a second opinion is what we're saying.
Like, you don't have to, again, maybe skeptical isn't the right
isn't
word.
The right
you don't
word.
You don't no. You don't have to be necessarily skeptical of all the information that you're given, but again, it's important to take any information with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And understand
and take it as gospel.
Yeah, where it's coming from. You know, understand that coach's experience or his experience with other athletes that he's coached that have done things. Understand where that message is derived from, like where you know the root of that information is coming from, and then further explore, you know, the topic that's being discussed, you know, in more detail that's specific to you. And like I said, just be sure that, you know, you're not just taking what you're hearing and that's what's right for me and this is what we're going to go for.
Exactly. So look, the next segment of the podcast is really important, probably the most important part of the podcast. So stay tuned. Really important. It's important. Now, I know I said the word important a few times,
but it's pretty important.
I just want to reiterate that this segment is pretty important.
Yeah.
It's really important. So we want to talk about another concern that's raised from or by parents and athletes. We hear it on a weekly basis. It's common in all sports. A wide variety of athletes competing in all different sports have raised this question to us before, or raised this concern, or is it a concern? I don't know. A question?
No, it's more of a statement.
A statement, exactly. But they will call up and say, look, I'm looking to defer my college entry date because I don't think I'm ready, or my coach has said I'm not ready to go over and compete at this particular level yet. So they want me to stay here and work with them until I'm ready for an additional year or 6 months until I'm ready to go over.
Now, look, I think there is some value to that if and only if the student athlete themselves don't feel
ready to go.
Like mentally ready or mentally prepared for the challenges of moving away from home and they're not ready to go, then in that situation I would say, yeah, okay, take that 12 months, mature a bit, work with your coach, continue to develop.
If that's the athlete that's thinking that.
Right, exactly. Now, when a coach tells you that,
red flags.
I would put up the red flag 100% because I mentioned this previously, but that coach has their own personal agenda in mind a lot of times, right? And I think I've probably seen this most often with golf.
Yeah.
You know, golf, because it's all about a handicap. Well, look, your handicap, you're sitting at about a 6 or a 7 right now. You know, you're never going to get anything over there, you know, for that. So take an additional year. Train with me full time throughout that year. Let's work on getting your handicap down so that then you go to the States. And that right there, all right, is
wave that red flag.
Wave the red flag because again, could it help? Well, certainly it could help. But think about what that coach has just told you. I want you to commit full time to me for another 12 months. Train with me individually to be ready to then go to the States. Yep. Well, that's not free.
No.
All right. That coach is sitting there saying, "Oh, private training for another 12 months. Like that's $100. Yeah, guaranteed income for me to help get this kid ready." And yes, like could they help you? Well, certainly. But is it necessary? Absolutely not. Because there is a level in the United States for literally any kind of athlete that once you finish year 12, you got a year 12 certificate or the equivalent of a year 12 certificate. If you want to go to the States, you get to the States as early as possible, because let's say that, you know, there's all sorts of opportunities that, that can help you develop and then allow you to progress through the U.S. system. Okay, so you, if you're a golfer, for instance, right, and you're playing off a 7 handicap, no, you probably won't get a Division I offer straight away. But then do you just not go to the States, or do you go to a school that will support that handicap? You know, and again, think about this for any sport though, but go to a school that does support where you're currently at on U.S. soil, where you're able to compete. You're able to get training sessions before class, after class.
Yeah.
You're working on your academics throughout that time. You're competing on U.S. soil against good, challenging competition. And then as you develop, there are always places that you can then transfer to and develop, like, you know, progress through the U.S. system. Like, where you start is not necessarily where you finish.
Exactly. And there's absolutely nothing that your coach or that you could do here that is even similar or on the same level as what you would be doing over in the States.
Not at all.
You're getting private coaching in that year off and you have decided to stay. Not a chance your coach is getting up every single morning, running a session with you, and then running another session with you in the afternoon every single day.
Being in that institute type environment where you're living there, you eat, sleep, breathe, your training and your education, and you're working on both of them together. Like, you know, another good example, like for golf, for basketball, I hear it with basketball all the time. Like, and look, there are opportunities to go straight into college for kids that are, you know, that fit, you know, one of the levels there. But then there's also, you know, pre-college opportunities called postgraduate prep programs. So like they prepare kids, you know, in that it's that year, you know, take a year at a prep program and then step into college. But you can do that on U.S. soil.
Yeah,
where
develop in the U.S.
In the U.S.,
where,
like,
you can be seen.
Where the system that they train you, the you know, the living and you know, the whole experience of your training, your education, the how you compete, it's all, you know, based in the U.S.
and it's
as part
anything,
of the U.S. system.
It's unlike anything that your coach can give you here.
Not at all
in Australia.
Not at all. And then, you know, By doing it in the U.S., you're being seen. You know, like, coaches can physically see you. They're not. You know, that extra year that you stay in Australia. Okay, well then they're still evaluating you on a video or on things like that. Whereas if you take that time and you use the U.S. system to develop and then progress through the U.S. system, like you're being seen by U.S. coaches. You're doing it on U.S. soil, and it shows the commitment that you've made to be there and work hard through that system. I think with basketball, the one that I hear most often, especially when it comes to a student looking to, you know, potentially join a program like NSR, is, oh, no. Coach says, don't do that yet. Let's go on a tour, because chances are that there's a good chance that you could get recruited on the tour. And we did a podcast about this as well. One
episode
of the earlier
episodes, 20
something,
5 or 6,
yeah.
I think.
So the truth about tours and ID camps, I think, is what it was called.
You'll see the thumbnail. We're all in a little yellow bus. So go, if you scroll through the podcast list on YouTube, you'll see a yellow bus. That's the episode.
So again, you know, going on a tour. Now the coach says, "Oh no, don't do that," or "Come with me on a tour," and basically, you know, that coach has his own personal interests in mind as well, because for every athlete that they bring on tour, they're going to get a bit of money from that as well. All right. So again, when you go on tour, all those factors that you've got to those variables that have to be factored in with your academics, your budget, you know, recruiting needs, things like that. Like, none of that's being factored in, and again, you know, you're only going to be seen by a select number of schools, because not every program in the country is going to be recruiting from that particular tour. Or is your tour at you know, University of North Carolina, where, like, Michael Jordan played? Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, unless you play for Australia at the highest level, you're not going to North Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, so again, there's all this personal, you know, personal sort of agenda when it comes to delaying your college entry to get additional training, to get additional preparation with the coach, private training. Yeah, let's get you ready, and then you'll go. All right, so again, there's the cost associated with that, but the other thing that's associated with that, delaying your college entry can have an adverse effect on your actual athletic eligibility. So if you delay your entry for the purposes of competing and developing in sport, you can lose a year of eligibility in the United States system.
Which is the worst thing that could happen, because you want all 4 years, trust me.
Right, so and that's the thing. Coach is like, oh yeah, I'm helping you. Like, I'm going to develop you, and then I'm going to send you over. Well, okay, yeah, you've spent that year. He's developed you. You're great. He sends you over, but you've got one less year of eligibility because you took time away. Because, again, biggest point that I'm trying to make, any development that you need, you can get in the U.S. system.
Exactly. Basically, you don't need to wait. You would rather be in the U.S. as early as possible, developing, adjusting to the system. There's nothing like an American preseason. I know with myself, there's nothing I could have done to prepare myself for preseason in the States. Even if I did stay an extra year and work as hard as possible, I still would have been in shock when I went to the if I had gone into preseason, even having a year developing and whatnot.
That's
here in Australia, nothing can prepare you for that system.
No, and again,
other than actually being in the system and
the U.S. system is designed to get the maximum output out of its student athletes. If you're here, as an athlete and you're trying to develop and progress to be at the highest level that you can, the U.S. system allows you to do that. You go to a school based on your academics now, your sporting ability now, and based on the programs in the States that look at you as a suitable candidate. And if you go in and you work hard and you get better and you win awards and you're progressing, then you progress to a bigger and more competitive program within the U.S. system. Yep. You can do everything that you want to do in the States. Now, again, the one time that I say that, you defer and wait is if you, the athlete, you're just not ready yet.
Yep.
If you yourself feel that not going away from home and I'm just not ready to move away yet. I want to take an extra year, save up some more money.
That's completely fine.
That's its own scenario, because that's a decision that you've made.
Yep.
But when a coach tells you, don't go yet, work with me full time, like I said, I'm on one right now, right? Another one just popped into my head.
We're at 30 minutes.
I'm wrapping it up. But a coach tells you, don't join a program like NSR, because I've got a few contacts overseas. I'll help you get to the U.S. Okay, red flag.
Red flag.
Red flag, 100%. Because, again, that coach, yes, they may very well have a contact in the States or a couple contacts in the States. But remember, there's 4,500 institutions in the States. Who's to say that one or those two contacts or that small group of contacts are going to be ones that suit your particular circumstances, without any sort of issues? All the variables, like I said, academics, budget, your ability, are they recruiting someone like you?
Yeah.
So again,
red flag.
Red flag.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess, after, and like you said, taking that sort of gap year and whatnot, after graduating high school, you have 8 months off before you actually go to college. So
you graduate in November. And then you don't go until August.
Use that time to see your coach here and develop and play multi-round sort of tournament style golf and enter into competitions if you're a tennis player. All that sort of stuff can be done in the 8 months leading up to the college. Eight months is a long time. You don't need
get
that.
Get there.
Exactly. Get there.
Just get there. Make the commitment to... You can have goals. You can have your ultimate outcome. Mm-hmm. You can sit there and say, yeah, I want to be a Division I athlete. Great. Well, that... You don't just necessarily go straight to Division I.
No.
Sometimes there's a process in place. And we tell this to kids all the time. Be patient. Take opportunities. First thing that you need to do, make the commitment to go somewhere in the States that is catered to where you're at that particular time, that's affordable, that's going to allow you the opportunity to train, develop, and progress.
Yeah.
And if you do all those things, the process of progressing through the U.S. system, going from one division to the next, it is 100 times easier once you're on U.S. soil, than it is to take that extra year from abroad, try and get all that training and get physically prepared so that then, you know, you go straight into that Division I school right away. Because that's typical of kids these days. We talked about this in a previous episode.
Podcast,
yeah, it was only a couple episodes ago. You want it all and you want it now. Yeah. All right, and that's not the way that this world works. Like, you know, if you want to be the best, then you need to put your time in. You need to progress at a pace that works for you. You don't just get to jump to the top. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. No matter what type of athlete that you are, what sport that you play, whether you're an NSR athlete, you're not an NSR athlete, there is always a program in the States that will allow you the opportunity to do that. So taking additional time to get ready in Australia or New Zealand, you know, before making that jump to college, because your coach tells you that, no, work with me full time, I'll get you ready, we'll get you to that Division I program right away. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way.
No.
Because nothing that you do here, and Jacob said it, nothing that you do here can prepare you for what your life
is good for you.
Yeah, that's it.
What you would get in
that's,
the States.
That's so it.
We don't need that extra work. You need to go now. That's basically
get there early and understand that the system will allow you to progress as it sees fit for you and your progression.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no one person's individual experience that you can sit there and say, oh, so-and-so did this. My coach said that so-and-so did this. Or my coach said I should go and do this. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm going to go and do. Yeah. Like, no. No, look at yourself. Look at your own academics. Look at what you want to study. Look at your ability. Look at where you're at that point in time. Make a decision. If you want to get to the States and you want to play in the States, then get to the States.
Yeah.
If that's a prep program or straight into a college program that suits you, or if you are that athlete that is that physically ready and bang, you go to that, you get that opportunity at that great program. Awesome.
Awesome.
But just keep in mind, every single athlete is different and there are so many variables that need to be taken into account. Your coach's experience with that and other athletes or their own personal experience, or the advice that a coach that has never done anything with the U.S. system is giving you needs to be second...
Opinionized.
Yeah, good one, Richo. No, you get a second opinion. Seek advice from professionals that work in this field every single day.
Yeah.
And again, take the information that your coach gives you as a starting point, just like you do with that careers advisor's information. Take it as a starting point and make the commitment to do additional research to figure out if it's right for you. If that's the right advice for you.
Exactly.
So that's all I got.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
We're going to wrap up this episode. But last segment was pretty awesome.
It was really important.
Exactly. It was very important. If you're on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe. If you're on the podcast app, don't forget to subscribe to Attorney Podcast app. Download the podcast app. Stay up to date with all the podcasts. We're pushing out one every single week, which is awesome. Now, yeah, we'll be back next week with another amazing topic. Hopefully you enjoyed Iowa Western Community College in the background. We'll be back next week touring another awesome college in the States.
Very good.